Hello, and welcome to the African American Hour. I'm Rosemary Onkwe, bringing you readings from the following publications: Ebony, The Voice, The Beacon, Epic Stream, Blavity, Sports Illustrated, News One, and Anski. First, we'll begin with an article from The Griot titled "Divine Love is a Gift." At 41, Kelly was tired of unsuccessful relationships. Then she met Chiwon, spelt Chiwonne, February 13th, 2024. The next time you receive a strange request or an invite you're less than enthused about, you may just want to accept. When Kelly Oldham, K-E-L-L-I-O-L-D-H-A-M, a single woman in her early 40s, based in Durham, North Carolina, reluctantly accepted an invitation from a friend to attend a Black professionals mixer, she met the love of her life. Kelly, now 48, told The Griot that during the mixer, she locked eyes with a gentleman across the room. Later, as she was enjoying a plate of shrimp and grits at the bar, the handsome stranger slid a napkin to her and said, "You look like you're going to need this." His name was Chiwon Mason. And the two spent the remainder of the evening engrossed in good conversation before he walked her to her car. "The rest," she said, "is history." If that whole scene didn't already feel taken from a page out of a Tia Williams novel, 7 years later, the couple, who now parent four children that Chiwon, 45, brought to the relationship, is celebrating 4 years of marriage. They also inspire thousands on social media with their love story, as they affirm why love can be greater later in life. Chiwon explained that when you find love later in life, you've lived some years of life when you've personally got it right and when you've got it wrong. Kelly agreed, adding, "As much as you champion your friends, family, and even strangers to experience love, it can be challenging for that love to be absent from your life. The beauty of that time, though, is that you have the opportunity to learn what worked well and what didn't for others. You then take those learnings along with a mature perspective of life and apply them for the benefit of the relationship when love comes across your path." The Masons are also major proponents of couples therapy. "After dating for 3 years, we recognized that if we were going to create a life together as a healthy unit, individual and couples therapy was a must," the couple explained together over email. The pair said they went through pre-engagement therapy for almost a year, agreeing it was hands down the best decision they made, that is, next to attending that fateful mixer. "Having experienced some life before we met, the need for therapy was apparent. We maintained privacy, not secrecy, as we worked diligently to ensure that we had a healthy foundation on which to build. And our relationship today is vitally tied to that therapeutic and mental health work we did prior to engagement," the couple shared. "Even with therapy and the life experience that comes naturally with meeting in your late 30s and early 40s, respectively, the couple admits the road hasn't been without its bumps here and there. Both Kelly and Chiwon grew up as pastor's kids, and in a departure from their upbringings, have been on a spiritual journey towards a less traditional religious lifestyle. This has not been widely accepted by those dearest to us," they noted. However, the pair has drawn strength from their connection. They said, "The ongoing dialogue between us, engaging in individual therapy with a trained professional, and a direct connection with the divine has been the trifecta that has been pivotal and critical to overcoming this situation." Divine love is something Kelly and Chiwon recommend finding within oneself before attempting to pursue a partnership. They advise that doing so can help an individual lean into greater understanding and divine inspiration During conflicts in a relationship, mastering divine love within can also help a person develop discernment when they encounter someone lacking in it. Therefore, you will attract the love that you're aiming to experience, they said. Resilient love. Divine love is a gift that you are worthy of giving and receiving. The Masons added, remember, your heart's desire begins with the inner knowledge that genuine love is a precious gift available, should you choose to receive it. This article was titled, Divine Love is a Gift. At 41, Kelly was tired of unsuccessful relationships. Then she met Siobhan, written by Kay Wicker. The next article is from the cover of February's Ebony, titled Ode to Jeffrey Wright. It's All Love. Story by Savannah M. Taylor. Photos by Dante Marshall for Ebony. Storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, Familia. Philia, friendship. Eros, romantic, and agape, godlike, for your fellow human. In the African diasporic community, we like to think there is an additional type that belongs strictly to us, Black love. Black love foundationally shows up in our persistence to exist every day. It's radical and distinctively ours. It emanates not solely in our DNA, but how we create meaning for ourselves. We choose it. As the late Gloria Jean Watkins, also known as Bell Hooks, defined while affirming that it is more than a feeling but an action. Before her time, writers like Elaine Locke, dubbed Dean of the New Negro Movement or Harlem Renaissance, captured the lifeblood of Black love in how our community exudes it through creative mediums such as art and literature. Love requires fierce imagination and execution. No one embodies this concept better than Jeffrey Wright. As an actor, Wright's archetype is rooted in a genuine love of storytelling. Fortunately, this adoration has resulted in a body of work that presents as a variant of Black life. When Wright shows up on screen, he commands your attention with an infectious energy that moves the viewer to feel what he intends to articulate. When he arrived on set for Ebony's cover shoot, the room was still for a quick moment, in an undeniable consensus that we were all in the presence of greatness. In short, he deserves all things. Once Wright was suited and ready to go, the vibe instantaneously transformed into a Motown-laced reverie in which the past was both realized, reflected, and honored. To watch Wright behind the scenes was to have a front row seat to the care that he has poured into his craft over the span of his career. He genuinely sits in a bespoke genre of his invention. The fruits of his labor manifested in a recent Oscar nomination for his latest film, American Fiction. Serendipitously, this acknowledgement comes exactly 3 decades after his Tony Award win for Best Featured Actor in a Play for his performance in Angels in America, Way Overdue. There's even a bit of irony for this to be the project that earns him a nomination, given the subject matter of the film. But does an institution best pay homage to a man who has taken on many of the most iconic portrayals, from Jean-Michel Basquiat to Muddy Waters and Martin Luther King Jr.? Once the shoot wrapped, we hopped into a Black car service to Wright's next destination. As the driver buzzed through the streets of Brooklyn, Wright spoke intently and humbly on the role of an artist in a way that resembled Black contemporary figures like James Baldwin, whom he missed taking a guest lecture course with while he was enrolled at Amherst College. "It's one of the regrets of my life," Wright recalls. "I think he only gave 3 lectures. I was playing lacrosse and I got injured that year. I'm embarrassed to say I missed his lectures, and he passed away not too long after that. I don't even care to speak about it." The DC native is widely recognized for his range and the incomparable uniqueness he gives to the characters he takes on. Whether fictional or non-fictional, each interpretation is never the same. Few Black actors have been able to play a multitude of roles that chronicle Black historical figures, yet are unrecognizable in each one. This speaks to the singularity of his gift, which he attributes to his time spent in Western Massachusetts. It was there where he honed his acting chops, soaked up the breath of endless artistic opportunity, and developed lifelong friendships. As an actor, Western Massachusetts is where it begins for me. I hadn't done anything before that. What was wonderful about my time at Amherst College was that I found the freedom to explore outside of what I thought were my primary interests because of the Five College Consortium. It's a beautiful area, but there was also a really interesting group of thinkers and artists around the school, he ruminated. Ekwueme Michael Thelwell, EKWUEMETHELWLL, taught there, and his wife was the head of a theater group at UMass Amherst that did a range of really interesting works. The first piece I did was an adaptation of Wallace Terry's novel Bloods, which is about Black Vietnam veterans and their recollection of their experiences. This was the beginning of my pathway as an actor, and it leads directly back to Western Mass. The first day I was in acting class, I was asked to perform a scene. I knew at that moment that this was what I was going to be doing for a while. I'm indebted to that place. Since its release at the end of 2023, American Fiction, Cord Jefferson's directorial debut, has generated dialogue across groups about the duplicity of America's commodification of Blackness, Black literature specifically. Based on novelist Percival Everett's 2001 book, Erasure, American Fiction delves into how the Black community reckons with the knowing of self-preservation versus selling out. Splendidly satirical, the film entertains a multitude of perspectives on the matter through each character's accordance with one another. Wright plays Thelonious Monk Ellison, a Boston-born writer who struggles with maintaining his authenticity in a publishing marketplace that leans heavily on adulterated Black stories that bring validity to banal generalizations. The character Monk is full circle for Wright in many ways. Not only did the role bring him back to a state that he accredited his earliest beginnings to, but it paralleled tropes that reflect his own reality. In creating this character, there were so many interesting, fortunate, and not so fortunate overlaps between Monk's circumstances and my own. Less so in terms of his professional or personal frustration, but more so relative to the pressures that he's experiencing regarding responsibilities to family and caretaking, said Wright. My mother passed away a little over a year before I got this script from Cord, so it was that side of the story that really struck me on an intimate, emotional level. I found myself saying, I've never been asked to play within a dynamic like this before on screen. It was that aspect of the film that is the antidote to the absurdity of the satirical side of the film. This article was an excerpt from the cover of February's Ebony, Ode to Jeffrey Wright, It's All Love, story by Savannah M. Taylor, photos by Dante Marshall for Ebony. The next article is titled, Wichita's Storytime Village Wins $5 Million Grant, written by P.J. Griekspoor, Griekspoor, The Voice, February 9, 2024. Wichita's Storytime Village is one of seven organizations statewide to receive a share of nearly $28 million in Capital Projects Fund Accelerator awards that will create 458 new childcare slots Governor Laura Kelly has announced. Storytime Villages Award is $5 million and will fund a new literacy-based community center for all ages, focused on removing barriers for families to receive quality care and resources. It will also create 50 new childcare slots. Storytime Village founder and CEO, Dr. Prisca Barnes, P-R-I-S-C-A, said the money for the organization will be transformational. Barnes plans to partner with other agencies to offer wraparound services that will help the entire community thrive, including helping people to find jobs and tap into resources that will support them at work. She plans a childcare center for 50 children that she wants to make into a hub that serves the home-based childcare providers that make up the bulk of caregivers in the community. I want it to be a place where those providers can access resources and help more children enter kindergarten ready to learn to read, she said. There will also be health resources through partnership with HealthCore Clinic and an event center where the community can come together to share special events. She hopes to include a cafe space and is looking for a vendor for that. Barnes said her inspiration is rooted in Africa. There is a tribe where the standard greeting is, "How are the children?" And the hoped-for response is, "The children are well." That comes from the idea that when the children are well, the community is well. I want our community in Wichita to be able to say, "The children are well." Barnes said that she'll be working with Hutton Construction, H-U-T-T-O-N, on building plans and will be announcing more specifics about the plan in the next few weeks. The governor's announcement said the funding is made possible by using American Rescue Plan funding from the U.S. Capital Projects Fund, which awarded $40 million to Kansas for the program. Supporting early literacy and healthy development opens doors to success and opportunities for our children and families, said Senator Olitha Faust Godeur, O-L-E-T-H-A-F-A-U-S-T-G-O-U-D-E-A-U, Kansas Senate District 29. The creation of the Storytime Village Literacy Center will strengthen early childhood development and provide families much-needed access to quality care and resources in my community and across Wichita. Through two rounds of funding, the Capital Projects Fund Accelerator has provided $38 million to create 771 new childcare slots for multipurpose community facilities. Combined with the Child Care Capacity Accelerator program grants previously announced last year, the Kelly administration has provided $94 million to expand access to child care for working families. These two funding opportunities have funded the creation of nearly 6,400 child care slots. Other recipients of funding went to ABCC/Great Bend Economic Development, Clay County Growth Alliance in Clay Center, Greater Manhattan Community Foundation, Kids Zone Learning Center at Overland Park, St. Benedict's Abbey in Atchison, and USD in Humboldt. This article was titled, "Wichita Storytime Village Wins $5 Million Grant," written by PJ Greekspoor, The Voice, February 9th, 2024. Next, an article from the Wichita Beacon, titled, "More Kansas Mothers, Especially Women of Color, Are Dying After Giving Birth. Where Can Wichitans Go for Help?" Written by Sawyer Belair, B-E-L-A-I-R, January 30th, 2024. Kansas looks to be an increasingly dangerous place to give birth, especially for women of color. The U.S. Census for Disease Control and Prevention found that maternal deaths per 100,000 live births within a month and a half of giving birth nearly doubled nationwide between 2018 and 2021. A disproportionate number of Black mothers made up most of those deaths. While year-by-year data for Kansas over that span isn't available, another figure from the CDC showed the Sunflower State trailing closely behind the nationwide average from 2018 to 2021. Another study running from 1999 to 2019 ranked Kansas among the highest in the nation for increases in maternal mortality among Native American mothers, with an increase of more than 162%. Black mothers were nearly three times as likely to die within 42 days of childbirth than the national average in 2021. What are the causes? Sharla Smith, a head services and systems researcher at University of Kansas Medical Center in Wichita, said racial inequities fuel the disparities. It's not the individual physician, but it's the system, Smith said. And there's a lot of things within the system that are not friendly to certain populations. For instance, she said the decision in Kansas to not expand Medicaid disproportionately affects women of color. Some women who wouldn't qualify for Medicaid can get the coverage for a pregnancy, but they can wait as long as 45 days after applying before Medicaid covers them. That in turn can lead to complications for expectant mothers by delaying the diagnosis and treatment of conditions that pose difficulties during and after their pregnancy, she said. If you don't have health care before you're pregnant, you're not receiving women wellness visits, Smith said. That means there's less known about the health of your body before you become pregnant. Research from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services showed a marked drop from 2008 to 2021 for all demographic groups in deaths in hospitals related to giving birth. Most deaths, instead, happened in the days, weeks, and months after delivery. Heart disease and stroke remain the most common causes of those deaths. But mental health plays an increasing role in the rising rates in Kansas, Smith said. She attributed that partly to weathering, a process in which the body ages faster than normal in response to psychological stress. She said research shows that societal stresses from racism, on top of the universal stresses of the COVID-19 pandemic, have played a key role in weathering for women of color. The CDC's 2018-2021 study found the uptick has been especially noticeable among younger Black and Hispanic mothers nationwide. Black mothers under the age of 25 saw the highest increase in mortality rate across all demographic groups. Hispanic mothers 25 to 39 years also showed a significant uptick. Sapphire Garcia Lies, executive director of the Wichita-based Kansas Birth Justice Society, said declining mental health among Kansas mothers stems from rising rates of labor induction, where medications are used to speed up the birthing process. One of the drugs is Pitocin, P-I-T-O-C-I-N, a synthetic opiate that can trigger contractions of the uterus without the high. That is a magic time for parents and babies, because that's the point that bonds them, Garcia Lias said. They are being robbed of that experience, racism and poverty. Dr. Philip Newlin, N-E-W-L-I-N, a pediatrician and medical director of Women's and Children's Services for Ascension via Christi Wichita Hospitals, said a range of factors including age, education, living environment, healthcare access, community, and the compounding effects of racism matter for a woman's health. A lot of times, these markers of healthcare disparities may have an ethical or racial marker, he said, but sometimes poverty is a common thread underneath. Yet Smith, the KU researcher, said race can overwhelm the effects of income. One 2022 study of California from the National Bureau of Economic Research showed that the wealthiest Black women face a roughly 50% greater risk than the least wealthy white women. Sometimes, Smith said, discrimination can arise when doctors don't listen to concerns voiced by women of color. Women know their body, she said, but when they tell their physician something is happening, doctors turn a deaf ear to it. Garcia Lias experienced that firsthand when her second daughter died in 2013, following a pattern of concerning behavior shortly after she gave birth. When she brought her concerns to her doctor, she was brushed off. It was discriminatory care, because I was a young brown mom with a Medicaid card. We're primed to think that doctors don't make mistakes and they're infallible. But living through that taught me that we have to be our own advocates. Soon after her daughter's death, Garcia Lias began pursuing the work that eventually coalesced into the Wichita Birth Justice Society, later expanding to a statewide scope as the Kansas Birth Justice Society. New solutions to old problems. Garcia Lias has pushed for more training and employment of doulas to coach women through pregnancy. She also calls for the wider use of midwives for women of color. The practice, which was once especially popular among women of color, dropped off after the 1921 passage of the Sheppard-Towner Act, which was intended to reduce maternal mortality by professionalizing healthcare. And we see at the same time that those midwives who are majority black and brown, who had served folks in their communities and provided community-based care, were not able to pass this legacy to the next generation, she said. Garcia Lias said taking birth out of a typical hospital setting can help people of color, who often feel underrepresented in healthcare, to feel more at ease during pregnancy, through a process developed over hundreds of years to be attuned to specific cultures. Yet, a reliance on midwives means handing over care to people who can find themselves unequipped to handle many medical complications and higher risk pregnancy. Garcia said teaming midwives with physicians' care can help. She noted better health outcomes in other developed countries, such as the United Kingdom, where midwives attend all planned births. And she said wider use of midwives could help mothers in rural Kansas, where dissolving health care access threatens mothers across all demographics. Meanwhile, Smith said other things can be done to curb maternal mortality. She called for increasing access to affordable housing and education, and overhauling property and food taxes, all of which, she said, contribute to a wealth gap and disproportionately affect many people of color. Garcia Lias said change starts at a community level and stressed the importance of accepting uncomfortable truths. I think all of us in this society should take responsibility for this issue. It's hard to even think about, but all of us play a part in perpetuating these systems, she said. We can vote and we can become engaged in these systems. It takes a lot to make the leap from I'm just surviving to I'm working to change systems. But that's the work we're engaged in doing. Resources for pregnant women. Several resources are available for expecting mothers for care, information on the risks of birthing, options for birthing, and benefits for new and expecting mothers. The Wichita Baby Company offers postpartum and infant care for mothers and their children in the Wichita area, including overnight care from doulas to other specialists. Evidence-based birth provides data sheets and information for expecting mothers to bring to their healthcare providers to make an informed decision on birthing specific to their needs. CAN Care Fact Sheet, K-A-N. Overview of Medicaid eligibility criteria for pregnant women and where to apply. Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants and Children, WIC, provides food, nutrition, education, and healthcare referrals for low-income pregnant and postpartum mothers, as well as their children up to 5 years old. ReproAction, Fake Clinic Database, searchable database on facilities across the country posing as pregnancy clinics that operate under an anti-abortion agenda, often providing misleading information to expectant mothers. VBAC Facts, source of information for expecting mothers who have previously had a C-section and want to explore having a vaginal birth. This article was titled, More Kansas Mothers, Especially Women of Color, Are Dying After Giving Birth. Where Can Wichitans Go for Help? By Sawyer Belair, The Wichita Beacon, January 30th, 2024. The next article is titled, Percy Jackson and the Olympian star, Leah Jeffries, J-E-F-F-R-I-E-S, on how she turned the casting controversy into a good thing for her. By Monique Jones and Trey Magnum. Blavity, December 20th, 2023. Leah Sava Jeffries, S-A-V-A, said she wants other actresses of color to have the confidence to go for any role they want, as she told Shadow, an act managing, in a recent interview promoting Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Jeffries feels proud of more opportunities coming for girls and women of color in the industry. Definitely in these past couple of years, I feel like we're getting a lot of opportunities out here, for example. The Little Mermaid with Halle Bailey. It was amazing seeing all these young black girls, she said. I was super grateful to get this part because I know that Percy Jackson has this huge fan base, and Percy Jackson is a really big thing. I know that the Annabeth prototype was not how I look like. Jeffries added that she has utilized the controversy over her playing Annabeth Chase, a traditionally white character, to help her career. Coming into this, there was going to be some controversy, but I knew I was going to take that and put that into a good thing for me. I wanted to make sure that I step into the controversy with, here you go. Here's what I created for you, she said. I worked hard for this. I want to make sure that it gets to the right audience and really for other girls that are auditioning for any type of parts. Never be scared to do it, no matter if someone was a different skin tone than you playing this part already, go for it, because it's always good to get the opportunity to just try whatever. Again, this is just acting. You're not transforming yourself into that person for the rest of your life, she continued. Maybe you film it for a year, and then after that, you're back into yourself. That's what I told myself. This is why it's called acting, because you're putting yourself into a different character. You're playing someone. You're not turning yourself into that person. This article was titled, Percy Jackson and the Olympians Star, Leah Jeffries, on how she turned the casting controversy into a good thing for her. By Monique Jones and Trey Magnum, Blavity, December 20th, 2023. Next, an article from News One. This article is titled, Struggling to Process and Heal from Grief This Valentine's Day? Try Writing by Dr. Sabrina Ndiaye, N-D-I-A-Y-E, News One, February 14th, 2024. If you're struggling to process and heal from grief this Valentine's Day, I encourage you to write, and more specifically, to write from the heart. As a psychotherapist and human, I have witnessed the benefits of this practice. There is also significant research on the health benefits of writing. That's why I encourage clients to use writing as a tool to move past grief or resentment, or simply feeling stuck. For instance, when I was struggling to process my own grief around the passing of my grandmother, Big Mama, I would get up every morning at the holy hour and write. Writing from the heart is an opportunity to tell your unique story and allow emotions to move through your body. This creates a doorway for healing, renewal, and transformation. You can write in your journal or write letters to people who have had a profound impact on your life. This includes past lovers, deceased loved ones, or people who have harmed us. You don't need to mail the letters. Simply get your thoughts and strong emotions out on paper. Don't know where to start? Don't be alarmed. You can begin from a place of confusion or a place of frozenness. Don't write for other people. You are your first audience. No need to look for external validation or a large audience. Your writing is for you. I also encourage clients and will encourage you to release yourself from the belief that you need to write to make a lot of money. Writing is a healing tool. That means you do not need to worry about impressing others or monetizing what you're doing. There is no need to qualify your writing or judge yourself harshly for your volume of writing. The goal is to get your immediate thoughts on paper. In other words, writing can be as simple or as complex as we would like it to be. When I think about Valentine's Day, I think about how to help people write from the heart around their own grief. To be clear, grief is about love, and you can't grieve what you haven't first loved. Writing from the heart is all about helping people access their capacity to fall in love again. Finally, remember that every person in our lives is a teacher. Often, there is a temptation when people go through a breakup to decide that the person no longer exists. But I say no. That's not true. There was something that this human offered that you loved. And in the moment you were together, the love was real. There is no reason to be afraid to thank the people in our lives or people who were once in our lives for what they meant to us when we were together. Writing in this way is designed to help us stitch up what was broken so we can heal. I actually encourage persons who are in pain to make a list of ex-lovers and write them all a letter. Again, the letters should not be mailed, but the exercise is cathartic. A sample letter might say, "Dear blank, one thing I loved about our relationship was," or "a teaching that I got from being with you was," or "what I learned about myself was." The bottom line is that there are many tools at our disposal to help us encourage and heal. Of all the tools, don't overlook writing. It can literally be a gateway to healing, happiness, and reminder of your divine purpose. I know it has been for me. The next article is titled, "Patrick Mahomes Cements Place in NFL History with Third Super Bowl Victory," written by Jason Reed, R-E-I-D, Sports Illustrated, February 11th, 2024. Las Vegas. During the dark days of December, when the Kansas City Chiefs appeared broken beyond repair, superstar quarterback Patrick Mahomes, M-A-H-O-M-E-S, finally snapped for all the world to see. Uncharacteristically, the NFL's best player lost his cool in the final moments of Kansas City's second confounding loss in as many weeks, directing his rage at game officials after yet another costly, unforced error by the defending Super Bowl champion. In a season defined by them to that point, derailed the team's comeback bid. It seemed that the weight of expectations might finally topple the Chiefs, stirring delight from Baltimore to Buffalo to Cincinnati and elsewhere throughout the NFL. The Chiefs' stranglehold on professional sports' most successful league was over, or at least would be interrupted, the thinking went, because not even Mahomes could overcome all that ailed them. As it turned out, though, reports of the Chiefs' demise were greatly exaggerated. As he's prone to do, Mahomes rallied, and the Chiefs were in lockstep behind him. Now the rest of the NFL will just have to cope harder. On Sunday night at Allegiant Stadium, the Chiefs cemented their place among the greatest teams in NFL history, repeating as Super Bowl champions and winning their third title of the decade with a 25-22 overtime victory over the San Francisco 49ers. After the 49ers scored in overtime and the Chiefs got the ball back, Mahomes entered the huddle and said, "We're going to go score, gentlemen." Right guard Trey Smith said, "Just be great at your jobs and let's just go do it." At any point in the game, because of Mahomes, we're in it. When you have a Hall of Fame quarterback behind you, you don't question what he does and the decisions he makes. If there is any chance he has an opportunity, he's going to make it go. On the home field of the Las Vegas Raiders, its AFC West rival, Kansas City, became the first team since the New England Patriots in 2004 and 2005 to win back-to-back Super Bowl championship. I'm so proud of the team, so proud of you guys, because we battled until the very end, Mahomes said in a post-game news conference. We battled through the adversity this year, guys staying with the process, keeping believing. You never know how it's going to happen. And then to play three great teams to get to this game, and then play another great team and win all those games, it was a true road to the playoffs. And we were able to come through and be Super Bowl champs. Renowned for, among other things, Hall of Famer Warren Moon, M-O-O-N, remained confident that the Chiefs would make it through the storm, as long as Mahomes pulled it together. Fact is, however, some have had a bigger role than others in the process, club president Mark Donovan acknowledged. When you think about Mahomes' leadership and his work ethic, the way he really builds competitors around him, through his example and through his trust in them, he really transcends the position, Donovan said. A lot of leaders are really good at leading from the front, saying, do as I say, follow my lead. And he is a guy who does that. But he also says, okay, this is what we're going to do together. And to do that, this is what I need you to do. That's one of the difference makers with him. Though there are so many, it's hard to keep track of them all. And his competitiveness, all the greats have that assassin-like competitiveness. They're just not going to fail. And he's definitely one of them. His name is Patrick LeVon Mahomes II. He wears number 15. At only 28, he's already among the greatest quarterbacks ever. And on the night he won his third Super Bowl championship and his third Super Bowl MVP award, a strong argument could be made that he's now second to only one. This article was titled, Patrick Mahomes Cements Place in NFL History with Third Super Bowl Victory, written by Jason Reed and Scape, February 11th, 2024. The next article is titled, How to Watch Fast Home Rescue, Stream Season 2, Premier Live TV Channel, written by Rafael Urbina, R-A-F-A-E-L, U-R-B-I-N-A, Sports Illustrated, February 17th, 2024. The brand new second season of Fast Home Rescue is set to air on Saturday night on the Weather Channel, which is available to stream live and for free on Fubo, F-U-B-O. The official synopsis from the network's website reads as follows. Each adrenaline-pumping, awe-inspiring, heartwarming episode of Fast Home Rescue follows Trey and Sierra Boston, T-R-E, as they rebuild homes that were devastated by weather disasters. The husband and wife duo run the Beyond Belief Foundation. Through the nonprofit, they work with detention centers, abuse shelters, and at-risk programs. The married couple feels it is their purpose to help kids break out of generational cycles and overcome their circumstances. Trey Boston founded the Trey Boston Beyond Belief Foundation to help underprivileged children within his community to have strong core values, integrity, and to achieve their educational goals. Trey provides a framework for success and uses education as the tool for children to focus on their path to obtain their goals. This article was titled, How to Watch Fast Home Rescue, Stream Season 2 Premiere Live TV Channel, written by Rafael Urbina, Sports Illustrated, February 17th, 2024. Next, an article from HuffPost titled, Studies Show There's One Unexpected Trait That Can Help You Age Better, by Am I Doing It Wrong? February 22nd, 2024. There's no denying it. We live in a youth-obsessed society, largely because of our collective fear of aging. But what if, somehow, we could see getting older as a blessing instead of a curse? After all, as the wise philosopher Pitt Bull once said, every day above ground is a great day. While we can't control everything about how we advance towards and eventually experience our golden years, there are several scientifically proven steps we can take to improve our chances of staying as healthy and happy as possible as we age. That is why we, Raj Punjabi, R-A-J, P-U-N-G-A-B-I, and Noah Michelson, M-I-C-H-E-L-S-O-N, the co-hosts of HuffPost's Am I Doing It Wrong? Podcast, recently chatted with Dr. Parul Goyal, P-A-R-U-L-G-O-Y-A-L, a geriatric medicine specialist at Vanderbilt Health, to learn as many secrets as we can about thriving past the age of 65. Goyal told us that regardless of how old we are right now, there are ways to adjust your diet, level, and quality of physical activity, and even your sex life, that will help you set yourself up for success later down the road. She also revealed an unexpected approach to aging that can act as a fountain of youth, and it's absolutely free. Research has indicated that individuals that have a positive mindset tend to experience improved cognitive function, better physical health, and enhanced emotional resilience, Goyal told us. In other words, optimism is the key to aging, like Paul Rudd, R-U-D-D. She pointed to a study that came out in 2019 from Rockefeller University, which talked about how optimism was associated with exceptional longevity in two different cohorts. And another study that came out of France found positive perceptions of aging were key predictors in a person's quality of life, she said. So how can we supercharge our optimism? Keep a gratitude journal to use at night. Practice positive affirmations. Practice meditation. And spend time with positive thinkers, Goyal said, because you are who you spend your time with. We also discussed other ways to take care of yourself and your loved ones to guarantee aging is more pleasurable than stressful, including tips for keeping your brain sharp and why some kinds of naps are better than others. This article is titled, Studies Show There's One Unexpected Trait That Can Help You Age Better, written by Am I Doing It Wrong? HuffPost, February 22nd, 2024. Next, an article from The Griot titled Jude Mabone, J-U-D-E-M-A-B-O-N-E, secretly survived 6 heart attacks. Then she became Miss District of Columbia, written by K. Wicker, W-I-C-K-E-R, The Griot, March 1st, 2024. When at the age of 16, Jude Mabone, Miss District of Columbia, 2023, suffered a heart attack seemingly out of nowhere during track practice at her Southern California-based high school, she was told it was a fluke. She went on to experience 5 more in the span of 2 years. Doctor after doctor failed to diagnose and adequately treat what was going on inside Mabone's heart until she finally found one able to prescribe a successful treatment plan. In the process, she learned her condition was possibly caused by either hormonal fluctuations or environmental factors leading to heart attacks. However, to this day, nothing conclusive has been determined. Once an active runner, Mabone had to adjust her heart's capacity and regain her ability to run at a competitive level. All of this occurred at such an impressionable age that she endured it without telling hardly anyone outside her immediate circle. I was really embarrassed, Mabone, now 28, told The Griot. I thought that this was something that happened as a result of poor decision-making, and I didn't want people to think I had done something wrong. So I went through my 2 years of high school during that treatment phase during my initial 6 heart attacks and didn't tell anybody. Mabone finished high school, moved to Washington, D.C., and graduated from college, all while keeping these ordeals a secret, for the most part. Then she competed to become Miss District of Columbia. As part of her run for the title, she was required to adopt a cause. She felt compelled to choose heart health. I thought, you know what? I have this weird story. I have this crazy unicorn life where I've had this really traumatic thing happen to me. But what if I use it for something other than shame? What if I turned that shame into change, she recalled. Mebone won the Miss District of Columbia title in June 2023 and is currently on the final leg of her reign. While she did not go on to take the coveted Miss America title, which went to Miss Colorado, Air Force Officer Madison Marsh, Mebone spoke about living life as a six-time heart attack survivor and how she's using her title to champion making schools and school sports environmentally safer for children, and to bring awareness to the prevalence of heart disease, especially for Black and Latina women. A lot of people don't even know that heart disease is our number one killer, she said. She noted that Black and Latina women are more likely to die than their white female counterparts from heart disease. As a Black heart disease survivor, Mebone urged, "We have to get so serious about our cardiovascular health as early as possible. I think that we tend to think of it as an older person's disease in this country." She and many others are living proof that heart disease can strike the most unlikely candidates at the most unexpected times. Mebone referenced LeBron James' son, Bronny James, and NFL player, Damar Hamlin, who both recently survived traumatic cardiac episodes while participating in the sports they love. She also considers the life-saving measures both had access to that other young student athletes around the world may not. What saved their lives wasn't just that somebody did chest compressions and somebody got an AED, automated external defibrillator, which is used to help those experiencing cardiac arrest, she explained. What saved their lives is that there was a plan in place where somebody knew that it was their job to start the chest compressions. Somebody else knew that it was their job to go get the AED. Somebody else knew they had to call 911. That responsibility and that plan is what saved their lives. Before she relinquishes her title in June, Mebone's mission is to see these measures become the standard of care in all local public schools in the district. She'd also love to see it become a national standard. I want every student athlete in the District of Columbia to have the right to play and the right to live when they're on that court, or the course, or the track, or the field, or wherever they are. Something to know about Mebone is she's a self-described goal-oriented person who yields results. It has really been the most transformative experience in my life, she said. I've always told myself that I didn't want my disease to be a limiting thing. So I always say, I'm not just living with heart disease, I'm thriving with heart disease. I'm choosing to live a much more full and exciting life, she said, before adding, yeah, I have limits. I can't go skydiving. Other than that, I can pretty much do anything. This article was titled, Jude Mebone secretly survived 6 heart attacks. Then she became Miss District of Columbia. Written by Kay Wicker, The Griot, March 1st, 2024. And finally, an article from Epic Stream titled, What is the meaning of Disney's Iwaju, Iwaju? Title explained. Written by Kathleen Melo, M-E-L-O, February 28th, 2024. Iwaju is an animated series released on Disney Plus. It's a collaboration project between Walt Disney Animation and the African entertainment company Kugali, K-U-G-A-L-I. It follows the story of a young girl named Tola, T-O-L-A. But what exactly is the meaning of Disney's Iwaju? It's an animated series released on Disney Plus. It's a collaboration project between Walt Disney Animation and the African entertainment company Kugali, K-U-G-A-L-I. It follows the story of a young girl named Tola, T-O-L-A. But what exactly is the meaning of Disney's Iwaju? The meaning of Disney's Iwaju contextually translates to the future. Iwaju is from the Yoruba language and translates to front-facing or forward. It is a fitting title for the new Disney animated series, since it is set in a futuristic and technologically advanced version of the city of Lagos, L-A-G-O-S, Nigeria. Iwaju is not the only Yoruba word present in the series. For instance, Bode, B-O-D-E, told his peers that they deserved their Orishirishi, O-R-I-S-H-I-R-I-S-H-I, in episode 2. Orishirishi means variety or an assortment of different things in the Yoruba language. It is if Bode is asking his peers to indulge themselves, whatever they want, to be happy and content based on the scenario. Disney's Iwaju has a lot more to offer viewers interested in learning about another country's traditions, language, culture, society, and more. The animated series is now streaming on Disney Plus with 6 episodes. What is Iwaju about? Iwaju follows the story of Omotola Abike Martins, O-M-O-T-O-L-A-A-B-I-K-E, a 10-year-old girl who wants to visit her father's hometown, Ajegunle, A-J-E-G-U-N-L-E, in exchange for caring for a highly advanced Agama lizard, A-G-A-M-A, called Otin, O-T-I-N. She also wants to get her workaholic father's attention by doing adult things like household chores and making decisions on her own. Omotola, or Tola, is a carefree and outgoing girl who is as stubborn as her father. She was born with a silver spoon, as her father is Tunde, T-U-N-D-E, Martin, the CTO of the only security company in Nigeria, capable of using AI technologies and blockchains to eradicate crime within the country. Tola has a close friend named Bankole Adeshola, B-A-N-K-O-L-E, A-D-E-S-O-L-A, who works as a housekeeper. Together, Tola and Kole see through the events that are happening in the city of Lagos, Nigeria. Despite being a progressive city, Lagos is no stranger to kidnappings, beggars, and opportunist sellers. What's more, a lot of wealthy people discriminate against the poor. This article was titled, What is the Meaning of Disney's Iwaju? Title Explained, by Kathleen Milo, Epic Stream, February 28, 2024. That's all the time we have for the African American Hour. My name is Rosemary Onkwe. Thanks for joining me.